And welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Roeder on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Roeder, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well out there. As always, we'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Roeder, what's going on? How are you?
Doing okay. Another late night. Looks like the Warriors might be in some trouble here. Must win coming up for the Dubs.
Do you have a must win coming up? Michelle Knezovic, how are you?
Doing well. Yeah, late night with that game last night, guys. I was like in and out. I like kept like dozing off and then waking up, and I was like, who won? But I saw the end of it. So doing good this morning. A little sleepy. And it's also an ice box in the studio this morning. So
it is typically the case. Chase McCabe trying to kill us all out there, but that's all right. Boston Celtics win 116-100 last night. They take a 2-1 series lead in the NBA Finals. You know, pretty good shooting night from Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown. Jason Tatum with 26 points. Jaylen Brown with 27 points. Marcus Smart with 24. So those three guys played pretty well offensively last night. But Boston, too much at home in Game 3. And now the bigger concern, if you're Golden State, is Steph Curry and his health as he moves forward. He got rolled up on late in the game with Al Horford, and Curry said he was all right after the game, but he'll see how he responds. Doesn't feel like he's going to miss a game, but that was a scary-looking sequence for Steph Curry last night, and if he's not 100%, that's a problem for Golden State.
Yeah, big problem, because he's been carrying them, basically. I mean, Steph's been great. Klay finally, you know, popped off last night, which was great to see. You know, Jordan Poole's been pretty bad through three games, and he's been so great in this run. They badly need him. They need, you know, Poole, at least one of Poole and Wiggins, who was okay last night, but they need at least one of those guys to pick up, you know, some scoring low. I mean, Draymond didn't have a good night either. But, you know, stats don't really tell the story of his game, but you can't have these killer turnovers and then rebounding the ball, man. That's the thing. Boston's going out there at times with like Horford and Robert Williams, and the Warriors have like Draymond, you know. I don't know if that means that Steve Kerr needs to go bigger, but they got killed. Even when they got some good defensive possessions, they were giving up offensive rebounds. Boston right now is having an easier time just getting the lane and giving them problems than the other side, which is, you know, Golden State doing what they do. They get shots, but they're usually better than this defensively.
I really enjoy watching Draymond play sometimes. Like last night, there were a couple of times where it was like tackle football out there for Draymond. And there was one sequence where, you know, they're at the free throw line, and he grabbed the back of Jason Tatum's head and threw him to the other side and then went and tried to go get the rebound. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, Draymond is, you know, and of course, all his stuff really, I think, worked in game two. Like, I think it actually, like, it got in the Celtics' heads. That's harder to do on the road. You know, you got to be Bill Laimbeer to do that stuff on the road. It's little worlds colliding for me as I see Draymond and Grant Williams go at each other. First of all, I've talked to Grant Williams about how much he idolized Draymond Green when he was in college. Those are like two of the greatest guys, you know, and players, and I'm sure they'll be friends afterward. But right now, Draymond is all in his face. And yesterday, Grant Williams took it to Draymond. Grant Williams had a great game, hitting shots, getting rebounds. So he got the upper hand on this one. I expect Draymond will be coming with force, as they say, in game four.
I mean, this has the makings of a long series. I mean, Boston's good. I mean, obviously, you don't get to the NBA Finals without being a pretty darn good team. But I don't know. I'm feeling okay about my Celtics in seven pick.
Yeah, I mean, hey, right now, they got the edge for sure. And again, if there's anything with Steph, you know, Tatum also has the shoulder thing, which every once in a while seems to act up. But, boy, he was good last night. No, I mean – I honestly think that I think Steve Kerr may need to think a little bit about changing some things up. I think Jonathan Kuminga is worth a look. One of those wings, Tatum, you know, or Brown. I mean, Peyton back is good, but I don't know. They need to do something else. They're getting beat on that first step, and then everything else breaks down.
Yeah, I mean, that's been a problem for sure. And now Boston in game four at home with an opportunity to go up 3-1 in this series. So, you know, I guess technically not a must win for Golden State, because Golden State has been a part of a series where a team down 3-1 has come back to win in the NBA Finals. But you're going to put yourself in a heck of a spot if you go down 3-1 to this Celtics team. So, probably need to win this game coming up in game four.
Yeah, I mean, it's always possible. You know, you're always in that spot where, okay, go win one, and then all the pressure would be on them in game six. But this is a huge game. I mean, I think the winner of this next game wins the series.
Ooh, I like that. I think Golden State's going to win game four.
Okay.
I don't think this is going to be easy either way for either one. I mean, obviously, Boston's already won two. But I don't think the Celtics are just going to run away with this. Golden State, I think they respond in game four, assuming that Steph can walk and play.
Yeah, yeah, that would be a big assumption. That would help.
That would definitely help, no question about it. How did Jared versus Joe go yesterday? I heard you guys talked about baseball being played seven innings.
Yeah, I don't think – I think on every point I won. It was like a total – I mean, I guess I run ruled them, I guess. I guess the Jared versus Joe – was like a five inning game, so that would make him happy, because yes, he wants college baseball to go to seven innings. And you know, I said, well, you know, he's talking about, well, the pitchers, you can save their arms. I'm like, well, that's great. Let's take college football. Let's just go three quarters. Think about running backs having fewer carries. It'll be great for them for the NFL. I mean, you know, let's do that too. And Jared's point is like, well, you know, the DH and this and that. You know, we change things. That's true. But I feel like nine innings in baseball is kind of untouchable. I mean, I know it's only been like 140 years or whatever, but I think that may be one of those things that we just go ahead and leave alone. I know, again, he's talking about college baseball, and I agree the games are too long, but that's not the answer. That's not the answer, Jared. Take the L.
Take the L. Speaking of baseball, Tennessee taking on Notre Dame coming up this weekend in the Super Regional. I wish they were taking on Vanderbilt. That'd be a whole lot more fun.
It would be.
What do you make of this matchup for Tennessee as they host Notre Dame in the Super Regional? Obviously, this is a Notre Dame team that can pitch the ball pretty well. So this lineup is going to be tested coming up this weekend at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. What are your initial impressions of the matchup for Tennessee?
Well, Notre Dame has, you know, they've got legit big time starting pitchers. So, you know, Austin Temple and Michael Bertrand, veterans, they're like grad students, but they're like, you know, they're really good pitchers, really good numbers. You know, Bertrand is their best pitcher. He's a lefty. It's a righty and a lefty. I mean, that's what this. You know, the Super Regional, unlike the regionals and really unlike Omaha, the regionals in Omaha are kind of similar. You know, your pitching depth is going to matter. Even if you go boom, boom, boom and win three games like Tennessee did, you still have to dip into it, right? And they did. Well, in this, that's two out of three. If you got a couple studs, then that could be all you need, you know? So, I think it's going to be challenging. I mean, both of those starters are the type of guys who can shut down a lineup, even Tennessee's lineup in that stadium. So Tennessee's going to need good pitching, you know, in response. I mean, I think we're probably looking at some – now, as I say this, it's going to be 12-10 Friday, but I wouldn't be surprised if we're looking at more like 4-3 kind of games, you know?
Yeah.
And so Tennessee's pitching, which – is the best in the country, period, has to step up. And in particular, you know, the starters, you know, two of the three starters last weekend had short outings, young guys. We're going to talk to one of those young guys today on the show. They're going to need – now, granted, depth can still benefit you. Tennessee got great middle relief, and that helped them win those games. But, you know, I feel like starting pitching's got to be better for Tennessee to get through the weekend.
We'll have Vols pitcher Drew Beam coming up at 7:30 here today on the program, so make sure you're tuned in for that. A lot of people running with Notre Dame outfielder Ryan Cole, talking about Tennessee and what they should be concerned about, said, quote, "I couldn't tell you exactly what they see, but if I were them, I'd be a little scared. I think we're a very dangerous team." This coming from Ryan Cole, who is an outfielder for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. What do you make of those comments that Tennessee should be a little scared heading into this series? Vol Twitter's having fun with that one.
Well, I hope that all the Notre Dame players erased all social media mentions of significant others or anything like that. The Tennessee students are going to be chanting either like his girlfriend's name, his mom's name, his aunt's name, something. Okay, at the game, he's going to take a lot of crap. But yeah, there was also another comment from, is it Link Jarrett? Said something like, yeah, they got power, but, you know, it's not crazy power. It's mostly because of the park or something like that. So,
yeah,
sure. Yeah, that's why you got to love pre-series press conferences. I love it, man. Bring it. I like the energy.
All the trash talk we can get, I'm totally here for it. We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, minicamp around the corner for the Titans. Are we concerned that there could be some holdouts from minicamp? We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. So minicamp right around the corner for the Tennessee Titans, Joe Rex Road. And the question is, will there be Titans that don't show up to minicamp? Now, I heard Jared and Caroline talking about this yesterday, and Corey Curtis has come out with a piece on this at WKRN.com as well, highlighting a comment that Mike Vrabel had a couple of days ago in his press conference when he was talking about, you know, being whether or not he's excited to get his whole team back into the fold at minicamp. He said, quote, "I'm excited to coach everybody that comes, and I would imagine most of those guys will come," talking about the players that have not been here to this point. So Jared and Caroline and now Corey Curtis and many others making a big deal of most of those guys will come. Joe, is that Vrabel lingo to you that maybe he's expecting some guys not to be there coming up in minicamp?
I don't know. Look, I suppose if someone really important doesn't show up, I guess tip of the cap, because maybe he was trying to say something, or maybe it was just one of those, like, people do that all the time. Like, yeah, I think most of them will be there. And for the most part, this or that, even when it's like it's actually all of it. You know, do you understand what I'm saying? I'm terribly verbalizing this, but like people say things like that all the time. Yeah, imagine most of them will be there. And be like, well, you know that everyone's going to be there. Well, that's just it's a phrase, you know. It didn't raise my eyebrows. But, hey, I'm the same guy who, when Tannehill said, it's not my job to be his mentor, I was like, okay, yep, then keep going with the press conference. Good press conference, man. Nice presser. I imagine people will think really highly of that press conference, Ryan. All right, take care. And then look at the internet 10 minutes later. So, yeah, hey, clearly there's a misread by me. Maybe I'm just not reading enough into this, but it didn't make me raise my eyebrow. I'm just going to be honest with you. Imagine most of those guys will be there. Maybe he's saying someone's not going to be there and I'm already mad about it. Maybe that is what Vrabel's saying. I can't say for sure.
Well, as Corey Curtis did, I think, a good job of kind of running through this on WKRN.com, talking about some guys that have not been there that we'll see what happens coming up in minicamp. So, you know, Harold Landry is going to be there, I would hope. I mean, he just got paid, so there's no reason for Harold Landry not to be there. Bud Dupree's got a big contract. He'll be there. Zach Cunningham, I assume, will be there. Danico Autry, I assume, will be there. I mean, Nate Davis is entering the final year of his contract. So, I mean, I guess he could want a new deal, but he didn't have a very good year last year. So I don't know if now's the best time to be doing that. To me, the conversation really comes down to, like, if you're, I guess, fearful of a holdout, it would be Jeffrey Simmons and Derrick Henry. And Derrick Henry's got 2 years left on his deal. And I know we brought up the Jeremy Fowler piece from ESPN a few weeks ago, where he mentioned in that piece that the Titans are at least open to exploring a new contract with Derrick Henry. I don't know where that comes from. I don't know if that comes from the Titans or if that comes from Derrick Henry's camp and Derrick Henry seeking a new contract. I don't know if anything's to that at all. Like, I have no clue where that comes from, but I'm sitting here looking around at Titans players who haven't been there for most of OTAs and thinking about mandatory minicamp. I mean, I guess if you're identifying a couple of holdout candidates, I guess it's Henry and Jeffrey Simmons. Like, the other guys to me don't really make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah. No, I agree. And yeah, Simmons, see, I guess, you know, to me, it's like, I feel like things are going to progress. I mean, look, John Robinson in Indy, somebody asked him about, like, are you going to give Simmons an extension? And he was like, what? Like, yeah, I don't remember who that was, but I was like, yeah, so what do you think, Jeff Simmons? And he's like, really, dude? You asked that question? Like, of course they're going to pay Jeffrey Simmons, you know? So, and look, it makes it even, I mean, frankly, if there was any doubt, you could, not that there was, but with A.J. Brown moving on, now there's really no doubt, you know? But so I just, to me, that like, they're not to the point with Jeffrey Simmons where it should be a thing. They're going to pay him. And granted, you know, both sides may be apart, but that's going to get figured out. Yeah, Derrick Henry. Look, if I'm Derrick Henry, I don't blame Derrick Henry for looking at his contract and wanting something, you know, wanting some more guaranteed money. Some kind. I mean, look, if you're on his side of the table, it's like, guys, if I'm his agent, I'm saying, which is Jimmy Sexton, last I knew, I'm saying, look what you've done to my client. You know, I mean, look at what he's done for you. You're talking about a guy who's his peers believe is a top 10 player in the NFL. He's your best player. He's the face of the franchise. He's the most popular player by far. And the workload that you put on that guy, and then finally he breaks his foot. And why do you think he breaks his foot? You think it has nothing to do with the fact that he's getting the ball all day long, every day? This is what I'm saying. If I'm his sure. agent, I don't know if it's true. I don't know if, like, if there's some, like, some cumulative effect really has anything to do with a broken foot. I mean, doctors would probably tell you no, but I'm saying that. And I think it's fair to look at the workload, how much they lean on him, how much they're going to continue to lean on him, and say, and he has zero guaranteed money left on his deal. Let's do something for Derrick Henry here.
Well, I'm sure if that's what Derrick Henry is looking for, I mean, I think his representatives can certainly make that argument. I just keep going back to, like, if you're the Titans, what sense does that make? Like, it doesn't make any sense if you're the Titans to do that, I don't think. So, I mean, could it get to the point where Derrick Henry wants a new contract or a contract extension or more guaranteed money, whatever the case is? Could it get to the point where he says, you know what, this mandatory minicamp, I'm not going to be there for it. I know I've got 2 years left on the deal, but I want a new deal, and I'm holding out for a mandatory minicamp. I mean, I guess it could. I guess I would be surprised if Derrick Henry's not there when minicamp starts. That's just me.
Yeah. He's the one guy who I could see it. I won't be shocked. I'd probably say I'm like 60-40. He'll show up. It's a 90, basically what, $93,000 is what you will have to pay the team you'll be fined if you miss the 3 days.
Yeah.
Look, when it comes down to it with Derrick Henry, we talk all the time about, you know, time of your career and shelf life as a running back and all that stuff. I mean, you can't, you have to play this year. You have to play this year and you have to get paid this year. And obviously at this point with this contract, again, like, the guaranteed money is out. So I forget exactly the cap hits. I'll look them up right now. You know, what is he actually getting paid? I think it's about 13 and then 15 next 2 years. I think that's right. Which, again, it's, It is amazing. The, you know, just because of his position that he's going to make, like, you know, what, half of what AJ Brown's making this year, for example. I mean, you can go down the list of like, man, that is rough relative to the rest of the league. But yeah, so this year, okay, the cap number this year is, it's 15. Okay. So it's 15 this year and 15.5 next year. So 35, you know, for him in the next 2 years. Again, no guaranteed money. And you know, easy cut. It's an easy cut for the Titans. Something goes wrong. I mean, it's not a ton. It's like $6 million dead money and three next year. So, I mean, and this is where you have so little security as an NFL player. And so if you're Derrick Henry and you're like, well, I just had this serious injury, I'm about to go in and give you another 350 carries. How about a little bit more security? I wouldn't blame him at all for feeling that way.
Santa in Portland says, this is lazy journalism, in my opinion, parsing words and creating drama where there would otherwise be none. Talking about the Derrick Henry situation. It was coming from Santa in Portland. Text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
So the term lazy journalism, that gets spread wide. I mean, it's speculation. Okay. And I think if you're speculating on something, you know, like, I don't know, a kid, you know, tested positive for PEDs. Okay. Like that would be a real problem.
Yeah.
I mean, but I agree that this is, to me, it's a little bit looking into words. Maybe they're right. I can't sit here and say there is no way you're right. There's no way that's what Vrabel meant. I can't say that. I don't know. But I don't know. it's a little bit of a leap. I'll say that. It's a little bit of a leap, I think.
Well, Jared was talking about yesterday how, like, I think he compared it to, like, you know, Caroline's mom teaches kindergarten. Therefore, she's able to, like, speak toddler. Like, she knows what toddlers are trying to say.
Okay.
And Jared speaks Vrabel. Like, he's been around Vrabel enough where he knows what Vrabel is really trying to say. Like, I would assume if that's the case, that, Joe, you speak Vrabel as well. And it doesn't sound like you're coming away with exactly the same conclusion.
Speak Vrabel. Yeah.
Just telling you what he said.
I do speak Vrabel. As you guys know, when between breaks, I try to get in as many Vrabels as I can get in.
Pre-show meeting is littered with them. Yep.
Let's see. Let me think. How many times has Vrabel said, you know, like sort of hinted around something, made a little inference where then later it's like, oh, that's what he meant. I can't think of a ton. Usually he's pretty direct. Now, granted, sometimes there's some things he won't answer, right?
Yeah.
But I don't feel like Vrabel's a guy who constantly is putting in these little subtle messages in what he's saying at his pressers. If I'm wrong, then I need some examples.
Hey, I'm just telling you what Jared said yesterday. He speaks Vrabel, and I would assume if he does, then you do as well. So y'all got to get together on this.
I don't know, man. You know, there's different dialects.
Joe, you're fluent in Vrabel.
Maybe I don't. Maybe I need to, you know, get the Jared little translation book, Jared Vrabel translation.
We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Welcome your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Are you worried about Titans players, specifically Derrick Henry, holding out of minicamp? We'll continue that conversation next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Have you talked to Derrick Henry recently or touched base with him about how he's doing this offseason?
No, I usually just check on Instagram.
What do you think about those videos?
I don't check them on Instagram. That was a joke, Emily.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezevic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. I got some tickets to give away to the stadium tour featuring Motley Crue, Def Leppard, Poison, and Joan Jett and the Blackhearts coming up at Nissan Stadium on June 30th. Be caller number three at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number three will win a pair of tickets to the stadium tour featuring Motley Crue, Def Leppard, Poison, and Joan Jett and the Blackhearts coming up at Nissan Stadium on June 30th. 615-737-1025. Discussing the Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Joe, we've gone through the idea of Derrick Henry. Could he be searching for a new contract? Could he be looking for more guaranteed money on his contract? What exactly is going on? Do we expect all the Titans players to be at mandatory minicamp next week? Let me ask you this. What do you make of the Jeffrey Simmons situation? Do you think there's any chance that he could hold out from minicamp, given the fact that he does have 2 years left on his deal now that the Titans have picked up the fifth-year option? Aaron Donald has just made an incredible amount of money. And we talked about this a little bit yesterday. Like, is Aaron Donald going to totally change the market for defensive tackles? Probably not, because he's Aaron Donald and he might be the best football player in the entire league. But I don't know, if I'm Jeffrey Simmons and his agency, I'm certainly bringing it up to John Robinson at the Titans. If that's the way they choose to go down that road, do you worry at all if you're a Titans fan about maybe Jeffrey Simmons not being there for mandatory minicamp, given the fact that he does still have 2 years left on his contract technically?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. First of all, like, if you're a Titans fan, like, don't worry about minicamp, okay? Like, I mean, obviously minicamp's some good work, but if like a Jeffrey Simmons, for example, honestly, if you're talking about these offensive linemen and getting some work in, you know, you're not going to get anything close to the full effect of Jeffrey Simmons and what they're doing in minicamp anyway. So, you know, now I think having like a Dupree, a Landry out there is good for the tackles, because you can do some of that stuff a little bit more in space. I mean, Jeffrey Simmons is a, you know, with the pads are on, and then that's when the full effect comes into play. But no, I mean, I don't want to dismiss like the possibility of a holdout or some kind of an issue. It's possible. So yeah, I mean, you know, I wouldn't be shocked, I suppose, if he's also there. I mean, Henry and Simmons would be the two, I guess.
Not putting Nate Davis in that category.
Man, I struggle with that one. I think this is a year. This is like a play on that deal, and let's see Nate Davis. And understanding that COVID, and I think hit some head stuff last year. I get that, like, that stuff happens to players, but still, that wasn't the season that you then demand more money, or, you know, going into the next year. So that one would be, I think, a little bit out of place. But with Simmons, it'll be interesting, because yeah, you could make the case like, okay, redo his deal now. You could make that case. I don't think it'll happen. And he's still going to get, I mean, what's Simmons going to get? So his option year, that's the thing. I mean, it is. Yeah. So his option year, he's going to get 10.7. That's in 23. This year he's going to get 4. So you're talking about, you know, 14 million, or basically $15 million next 2 years. Right now for Jeffrey Simmons. Definitely. Is he worth more than that? Of course. Of course he is.
He's going to make a lot more than that one day.
Right. But if you're him, and if you're his agent, you're like, okay, so in the meantime, you want me out here with offensive guards cutting me at the knees and getting double teamed and this and that for 2 years before this happens? You can understand where.
Sure.
I understand. Hey, look, especially in this league, where it's so easy to, you know, when really the guaranteed money is all that matters, you got to understand players thinking like that.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I would not be surprised if Jeffrey Simmons looked at this situation now and says, all right, I got 2 years left. There's a whole lot that could happen on a football field in 2 years. Like, I would, if I was Jeffrey Simmons, I would certainly be taking a look at the Titans and saying, well, hey, why don't we start this? Why don't we get some negotiations going right now and see if we can't redo this deal heading into the next couple of years. Now, that doesn't mean the Titans have to do that, but I could certainly see from Jeffrey Simmons' point of view where you're looking around at that position, like you said. I mean, he's going to be double-teamed a lot, and they're going to be guys going low on Jeffrey Simmons. there's just a lot that can happen on a football field. And, you know, the shelf life is so short in this league. One hit can change the way that your career goes. Like, I would not be surprised if Jeffrey Simmons views it that way. So, again, like, I don't know if that necessarily means that they're going to hold out a minicamp. Maybe they will. Is it the world's biggest deal at the end of the day if they do? I don't think so. I mean, I know some people would probably disagree with that, but I can definitely see from both Derrick Henry and Jeffrey Simmons' point of view where wanting a new contract sooner rather than later would make sense. I just also see if you're the Titans, there's not a whole lot of pressure right now on the Titans to do that. And maybe that's how you create pressure if you're Jeffrey Simmons or if you're Derrick Henry.
No, of course. I mean, the Titans want this to just be show up and you're good. And come on, buddy. It's $4 million. That's a lot of money. Let's go. But they also have, I mean, they know what's going on. They understand how this works. So I don't think anyone would be shocked. And maybe there's, you know, maybe Vrabel does know. Maybe Vrabel is dropping a hint. Maybe. Speaking of Vrabel, I'm glad Michelle played the sound she did, because Jared also claimed during Jared versus Joe yesterday, his blowout loss, that little joke of Vrabel's was also like indicative of like an issue, because Vrabel turned it into a joke and got out of there. All right, everybody, because he didn't want to talk about it. Because in reality, like, there's like this big issue. So well done by Vrabel. And I was like, it could be, or maybe he just made a little Instagram joke. I don't know.
Good God. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Scott on the text line says, can you explain the differences between minicamp and training camp? It's coming from Scott on the text line.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, training camp obviously starts at the end of July, goes until, you know, what, a couple weeks before the season, I guess. But training camp, you know, you have 90 guys, you cut it down, the roster and everything, and that's getting ready for the season. Minicamp is the last thing of spring. Minicamp is the one thing of the spring. So spring, you have rookie minicamp, obviously for the rookies. You have OTAs, organized team activities, which are voluntary, of course, as we all know, right?
Oh, yes.
And that's what they've been doing. And then next week they do the actual, this is like the team, the one thing that you can do in the spring with the whole team for a week, basically. I think you get 3 days, right?
Yeah.
And by the way, I think Tuesday and Wednesday we're going to be in there. And Vrabel has made a habit of canceling the Thursday. That's
pretty common, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and it's not just like it's him, but I mean, he's typically like likes what he sees 2 days. Okay, guys, you know, chill out and take off. But it's just basically, Scott, I mean, it's not going to be, you know, training camp gets into the nitty gritty of football, right? You actually do have some stuff with pads. You're going to have a week with the Bucks. You're going to start playing preseason games. And this is still going to be mostly, you know, a lot, you know, running around the field, some shorts and some helmets and passing drills largely and stuff like that.
We'll take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it is time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your submissions as always. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, 1063, The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts as always on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, would you like to kick us off this week with your best and worst things in the world of sports?
Sure. Sounds good. Sorry. I'm not ready for this segment. Okay. I am ready. Here's my best thing. All right. A lot of possibilities this week, but I'm going to be personal and, you know, of course, a little self-promoting. As you guys know, this is what I love to do. But sometimes you get a chance to help tell a story that you really had no idea about, which I didn't until a few days ago. And I got that chance this week talking to the Beam family from Murfreesboro. And everybody, I mean, certainly who follows Tennessee baseball knows Drew Beam, SEC freshman of the year. Biggest individual surprise story on the team. You know, it's been a fantastic story. Tommy John, partial Tommy John, Now, he wasn't even supposed to pitch this year, and he's SEC Freshman of the Year, part of why they have the best pitching staff in the country by far. Well, what I didn't know until recently is, you know, his sister Carly is really this – really the, I guess, the centerpiece of that family. And you could say of Tennessee baseball, an example of someone making the most of her life for sure. She's 14. She has SMA, spinal muscular atrophy, which can be a very deadly disease. And it's a disease where basically you struggle to build muscle. She's the first person in the state to get an experimental drug in 2017 that's helped stop the progress of the disease, helped her build some muscle. She also might be the most popular person at Lindsey Nelson Stadium these days. So got to talk to all of them, including her. One of my favorite things is one of her traditions, and Drew insists on this, before every game, she always sends him a text. Hey, don't suck.
I love that.
Yeah. So it was an honor to write about them, and it's an awesome story. And that's at The Athletic today, by the way.
Very nice. That's awesome.
Yeah. My worst, and we're gonna have Drew Beam on later too. And it'll be a great conversation. My worst is Deshaun Watson, right? Like, I'm sorry. Like, it's not fair that you guys let me go first, but like, it's so obvious. So honestly, if anybody else wants to make that your worst and talk more about it, you can. I don't even know what to say about it. I do have a runner up, and I'm gonna go with Jack Del Rio. And here's the thing about Jack Del Rio yesterday. It's just honestly, like, sometimes people say things and then you're like, but then also the reaction, then you're like, I just need to go away. Like, I really badly wanted to be there to have the conversation with Jack Del Rio yesterday. When he said, like, rioting that was part of some of the George Floyd protests, like, was just totally ignored. And then this dust up at the Capitol January 6th gets all the attention. I wanted to be there because, you know, basically just it turned into what it always does. Social media screaming, spin everything your way. My side's totally right. You're an idiot. You know, what I'd want to say to him in the moment is, like, I think most people in this country are good with peaceful protests, but if anybody riots or loots, harms people, we all want them arrested. And I think in most cases they were. I sure as heck hope so. I know that there were arrests made, right? I mean, like that should happen. I think we all can agree on that. And the difference between the situations is who orchestrated things. I mean, that's the difference, right? Like, where did it come from on high? I mean, that's why there are people on trial. I mean, I think that's a totally reasonable conversation to have about this and, like, stay calm and talk about it. And instead, as everything, let's just scream about it.
Michelle Knezevic, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Well, I think Joe hit on pretty much the top two worst. Mine also was the Deshaun Watson situation. I mean, this week, obviously, we're seeing a lot come out regarding this case, and I have a feeling it's just going to continue. So it's going to be a long one, but I hope the NFL does the right thing, you know, moving forward. And yeah, he's just a creepo. I mean, not much to say. Like, it's just such an awful situation, and really hope we don't see him on a football field soon. So that's my worst in sports. Best in sports, kind of another heartfelt story. I don't know if you guys saw this, but this was on Twitter the other day. Tom Brady, he was in, like, a haircut chair, and it's just all these kids are spray painting his hair red. It was for pediatric cancer. And the video is, like, super cute. Just all these young kids, you know, him just doing something, taking a little time out of his day, probably meant so much to those kids. And he's got some bright red Tampa Bay hair. So a nice little heartfelt story. Shout out, Brady. Helping the kids.
The Pharaoh. Much better than the video of Brady going around on Instagram the other day that his wife took of him just, like, brushing his teeth in his underwear.
I did not see this.
Oh, yeah. It's weird stuff. It was making the rounds.
I really got to not ever get on Instagram.
Yeah. It's like, okay, I don't know what's going on here. All right, my best thing in sports. I'll give an honorary mention to Tennessee baseball, but I feel like that could be maybe a consistent thing as we move forward here. So that's the honorary mention. My real best thing in sports is Draymond Green and his comments the other day. I'm not always the biggest fan of Draymond Green. Like, sometimes he says some stuff where I'm just like, dude, shut up. But the other day he said he was talking about, like, 80s and 90s basketball and how, like, there's this idea out there that everything was just so much more physical in the 80s and 90s. And he said, now, were there guys like Bill Laimbeer and Rick Mahorn who were physical and would clean your clock coming to the rim? Yes, they would. Now, that doesn't mean that every single player in the 80s and 90s was more physical, and that people and players today couldn't handle it. So, you know, he gave like the proper respect to Joe's bad boys of Rick Mahorn and Bill Laimbeer, talking about what they would do at the rim. But his point was, and I've been saying this for a while, like, if you're out there and you think that guys like LeBron James and Draymond Green and Kevin Durant and all these different guys who are bigger, faster, stronger, all these things couldn't function in the NBA in the 80s and 90s. It's just it's a ridiculous thought to me. It's now,
so bad.
Does it mean that like LeBron James is automatically better than Michael Jordan? No, I'm not saying that. But like, if you think LeBron couldn't play basketball in the 80s and 90s, okay. He's 6'8", 275 pounds of muscle. He'd be all right.
No, that's a great one, man. And it is. We've talked about this before. More in the context of like it's so much better. There's so many more great players. The skill level, these teams would crush those teams. I'm sorry, but beyond that, this is a great aspect of it too. Because I think it was Vernon Maxwell who came to him with that, right?
Yeah,
I think it was. I think he was responding to Vernon. And like again, like okay, Vernon Maxwell, he was a nice guard. He wasn't out there like, you know, get out of my rim. This rim is mine. No, what?
Stiff arming people. Yeah.
You're the guy who got hit. I mean, come on. But go watch. You can go watch some 80s games where, you know, the Pistons actually changed things. The Pistons and even the Celtics too, but like defense and physicality kind of emerged from them a little bit. Go back and watch some 80s games. I swear if anyone played any defense, you know, I mean, it's just, I hate to pick on my guy, Kelly Trepuka, but. It was just like, all right, hurry up and score your layup so I can go down here and shoot. Come on, man. Nah. It's such a great point by Draymond. He's like, you can look at these things on YouTube. Like, come on. You go watch some – I love this too. You go watch some, like, basketball. Well, especially college basketball, but even, like, NBA, like, in the 80s too. And you'll realize, like, no one lifted weights. Like, yeah. They have, like, these skinny noodle arms, you know, out there. Because, I mean, they just didn't. I mean, they It's like, I love that era so much. I do. I love it so much. It's why, like, does anybody think an NFL team from now wouldn't go back and just annihilate 80s teams? Of course not. Like back then it was like, if you were a 260 pound offensive tackle, you were huge. You know, I mean, it's like, come on, it's not even close, but I get it. I mean, as an old person, I cling to the old days too.
A lot of Kelly Trepuka love on the show the last couple of weeks.
I hate to pick. I mean, I loved Kelly Trepuka, but my God, he never ever guarded anybody. There was like a Nuggets Pistons game. It was like 185, 184.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like double overtime, but still, like what? Oh, man. Oh, that physical 80s. Oh, and by the way, I wanted to go back to your one, Michelle, because this was on Jerry Vizio yesterday. Caroline asked about punishment, and I said, I think a season. I think I'd do a season.
Well, listen, Calvin Ridley for gambling got a season. And, I mean, if Deshaun Watson doesn't get a season for this, I mean, come on.
But those two were talking like lifetime or 5 years and stuff like that, which, I can't believe that
would
be possible. But
well, the MLB guy got 2 years, right?
Yeah, Trevor Bauer.
I don't really know the situation with that, but I can't see that happening.
That is a different, but a very, you know, severe, singular situation. I suppose it could be more than a year. I'd still be surprised if they do a full season.
I would be very surprised.
But that's just based on, you know, based on their track record. But by the way, it's getting worse and worse.
It's getting worse and worse. By the way, that is my worst thing in sports. I'll give an honorary mention. LIV Golf. All these players are defecting from the PGA Tour to LIV Golf based out of Saudi Arabia. I don't really care about like players defecting. That's fine. If you get paid more money, by all means, knock yourself out. As a very, very casual golf watcher, it is concerning that like some of the best players in the world are going to be on the PGA, and then other of the best players in the world are going to be on this completely different tour. And other than like some majors, they're not going to be playing against each other. That is slightly concerning. So I wish all the best players could remain in one singular league and get paid what they feel like they deserve to be paid.
Well, and the PGA is going to have to change, right? Because they have to change their policy.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Yeah.
Because if not, it's probably not going to work out very well for anybody involved. This has been the best and worst things in sports. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll take a look at the offenses for the Titans and the Colts. Which offense do we like more? We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game.